Okay, Psalm 120, and let's read it together. Okay.
In my distress, I cried to the Lord, and he heard me. Deliver my soul, O Lord, from lying lips and from a deceitful tongue. What shall be given to you, or what shall be done to you, you false tongue?
Yes.
Sharp arrows of the warrior, with coals of the broom tree.
Amen.
Woe is me, that I dwell in Meshech.
Amen.
And I dwell among the tents of Kedar.
Yes.
My soul has dwelt too long with one who hates peace.
Amen.
I am for peace.
Hallelujah.
But when I speak, they are for war.
Amen. O Lord. Hallelujah. In my distress I cried to the Lord.
To the Lord.
And he heard me. Amen. Yes. Praise the Lord.
I cried to the Lord.
Amen.
He heard me.
Amen.
Lord, thank you. We can cry to you.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. In our distress.
Amen.
We cry to the Lord in our distress.
Amen.
Hearing us.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.
Lord, deliver our soul.
Amen.
Amen.
Lord, deliver our soul. Amen. Amen.
Lord, deliver our soul.
Amen.
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 Oh Lord.
Deliver my soul, O Lord.
Amen.
Amen. From lying lips.
Amen.
And from it deceitful tongue.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Jesus, deliver us from lying lips.
Amen.
Yes.
Deliver us from lying lips and from a deceitful tongue.
Amen.
Oh Lord.
Amen.
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 Oh Lord.
Oh Lord, we do give you our lips.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes.
Yes, oh Lord, we cry unto you.
Amen. Amen.
And deliver us from the lying lips and from a deceitful tongue.
Amen.
Amen.
Oh Lord.
Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Yes.
Amen.
Deliver us, Lord.
Amen.
From lying lips and our deceitful tongue.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes.
Oh Lord. Yes.
Rush our lips, Lord Jesus.
Amen. Amen.
Rush them with burning coals.
Right.
That's right.
Amen.
Sharp arrows
of the warrior.
Amen.
Oh Lord.
Yes.
Lord,
what shall be given to you?
Amen.
What
Amen.
Shall be done to you?
Oh Lord.
You false tongue.
Amen.
Amen.
Lord, we pray that you would expose our tongues.
Amen.
Judge our mouths.
Amen.
Lord, judge our speaking these days.
Yes, Lord.
Amen. Amen. Oh, Lord.
Lord Jesus.
Yes.
Oh, Lord
Jesus.
Amen.
Deliver us, Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
Deliver us.
Amen. Hallelujah, Lord.
Woe is me.
Amen.
That I dwell in mission.
Yes.
Amen.
That I dwell amongst the tents of Kedar.
Amen.
Deliver us, Lord. Amen. Oh, Lord.
Too long.
Yes.
To the one who hates peace.
Amen.
Too long.
Lord,
oh,
too
Lord.
Long. Oh, Lord.
Deliver us.
Yes. Oh, Lord.
Soul has dwelt too long.
Amen. Yes. Amen.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Lord, we are for peace.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes, we are for peace.
Amen.
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 Oh Lord.
We are for peace.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes, deliver us from war.
Amen.
From all the fighting, Lord.
Yeah,
Lord. Oh Lord, bring us into this reality.
Amen.
We are for peace.
Amen.
Amen.
When we speak, they are for war.
Oh Lord.
Oh Lord Jesus.
Yes. Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
Oh, Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. So we praise the Lord. Praise the Lord that we could spend this
conference in the Songs of Ascent.
Amen.
I was, again, impressed and touched from the word last night that the Lord really desires for us all to go onward and upward.
Amen.
And that it is absolutely abnormal, and even it should be impossible, that we would remain as babes. I mean, if this is the case in our humanity, in our human life, that we would not remain in first grade, but we would grow to be mature men on this earth,
amen,
then why is it any different when it comes to being the children of God?
Mm-hmm.
And I especially appreciated in seeing from the beginning, if you look at Psalm 120 all the way to Psalm 133, you see progress that is being made. You see the ascension,
amen,
of God's people. And this matter regarding at the beginning, when you look at Psalm 120, is the matter of people who do not want to keep the peace. They want to fight. Mm. They are for war. Mm-hmm. But yet at the end of the 15 Psalms, you see brothers dwelling together in oneness.
Amen.
So you could really, amen, I don't know about you, but for me, I said, Lord, then show me. Show us all how we can ascend to that point, mm-hmm, to reach the goal, to become the first fruits. So with that, and also the matter of the first fruits, it was good that was brought up. I just wanted to bring one of the verses regarding the first fruits up, because it has everything to do with what we will speak about in this first meeting. In verse 5 of Revelation 14, this is speaking about the first fruits. And in their mouth, mm-hmm, was found no deceit, for they are without fault before the throne of God.
Amen.
So you can see here that one of the characteristics of the first fruit has to do with their mouths, the condition of their mouth. And when you come back to Psalm 120, you begin to see what is our real condition. You know, growing up in the church life, and many of us, I don't believe we grew up in a bad family life. We all, for the most part, live in pretty okay, normal family life. And so you might not realize what is our real condition of our flesh, the real condition of our natural man. And as we began to get into this, this is, especially this particular chapter, the more I spend time in it, the more I realize how inadequate and how unqualified I am even to be speaking with you all, because this is really a picture of all of our inward condition. And also, you know, in verse 1 it says, in my distress I cried to the Lord and he heard me.
Amen.
Are we always desperate to the Lord in such a way? Yes, we might be desperate to the Lord when something bad happens, but are we desperate to the Lord because of our inward condition? What I realize is many times I don't appreciate the Lord so much because I really don't see the real condition of my natural man. And this is why it says in verse 2, it says, deliver my soul, O Lord, from lying lips,
amen,
and from a deceitful tongue.
Amen.
You know, this is a very clear word. It's simple and it's very direct. It gets to the heart of the problem that we all face. This is our lying lips and our deceitful tongue. And for me, every time I go over these verses, I realize this touches every aspect of our daily life. And it also touches every aspect of the church life. Because everything we do with one another, we have to speak. We have to talk to one another. And you might say, well, you know, my lips aren't bad. I don't lie. I come to the meeting, I'm not lying. When I'm with the saints, I'm not lying. And there is no deceit within me. We're not trying to mislead anybody. But we have to begin to realize this is still at the very core of our nature. And why is it? And why is it that we're not so aware of it? It's because it already starts in us as young as the little guys that are in these rooms. You know, with nowadays, there's quite a number of smaller children, whether it's my nephews or nieces. And in the church life, we have more little kids. And what you begin to see in them is you really can see the lying lips and the deceitful tongue. You might say, well, how's that possible? They're so cute. They're so adorable. How could there be any lying lips and deceitful tongue? Well, let me tell you. You know, sometimes when I see the little kids and I want to, you know, pick them up and give them a hug and talk with them, outwardly, and this is even before they can speak, outwardly they're going, yeah, come, come, come. You know, they're like this. And they might be in their mother's arms and all of a sudden they launch out to try and reach for you. And you're thinking that they want to come to you. So you pick them up, you hold them, and the next thing they do, they're pointing somewhere else. And what they want you to do is to take them to the toy room so they can play, even though they're supposed to eat. So, what is that? Lying lips and a deceitful tongue. Okay? So already, very early on, in our youngest here in the meetings, there's already lying lips and a deceitful tongue. And when they get a little bit older, when they can really speak, you know, they'll give you excuses. I lost my little baby doll. Please come into the room. And you open the door and you find out what they really want to do is come out of the room and not take their naps. There's so many things that are already ingrained into us. Right? This is our nature, brothers and sisters. We laugh about this. But when we get older, what we begin to realize is we get more sophisticated in how we speak to people. We may not outright lie to one another, but we will speak half-truths. We will say certain things to direct people to do things that we want them to do without coming straight out to saying what we want them to do. And this is just our human nature. Lying lips, deceitful tongues. We see this. This is all around us. You know, if you're working, if you're at school, if you're, you know, doing volunteer organizations, this is really amongst all of people today. But this also is our condition here in the church. We also, if we are in our natural man, in our flesh, we can also do the same here in the church. And it does get exposed. We can really begin to see it. And the more I spend time in this chapter, the more I go, Lord, this is really pitiful. It is really pathetic. And how does the Lord feel about the lying lips? Proverbs 12:22 says, lying lips are an abomination to the Lord. It's an abomination to the Lord. And then in Psalm 109, verse 2, for the mouth of the wicked and the mouth of the deceitful have opened against me, they have spoken against me with a lying tongue. So, if we are truly going to build up God's holy church, if we want to reach the goal of being a first fruit, then we have to realize what God hates. And what He really hates is lying lips. And so this is something that we have to really bring to the Lord. Like I said, most of the time when we're lying, it's not an outright lie. It's just it is our condition. It is our situation. One of the most challenging things for me is, you know, sometimes, you know, when I ask my girls to do something, it says, yes, Daddy, I'll do it. And then one day later, it was not yet done. And then I'll ask again, and they'll say, yes, I'll do it. And then it's not done. And by the end of the week, I'm really frustrated, right? They want to do it, but they didn't do it. This is our condition. And many times in my frustration, what I begin to realize is, you know, this is my condition. The Lord is asking me to take care of matters, to deal with certain things in myself. And many times I'll say, yes, Lord, I know. I know, I know. And I will do it. But when the Lord is speaking to us and we say this, but then yet we don't do it. This is our condition. We have the lips to say it, but we're not doing it. Right, this is our problem. And even with the tongues, it says, no one can tame the tongue, for it is unruly evil, full of deadly poison. You know, with our, what we speak, deceitful tongues, our tongues can really start a forest fire, as we see in James. It doesn't take much to say something. And these days, you can augment your, you can really project what you speak with social media. You're upset, and you want to say something, and just very quick, post it up on Facebook. Some people send out tweets on Twitter, email, or what we call flame mail, because it's very easy to flame mail with email. This is our condition, brothers and sisters. We need to begin to realize this. You might not outwardly do some of these things, but you have it in your heart. Right? Why is this in our heart? You have to realize the lips and the tongues are connected. Those are parts of our mouths. And our mouth is connected to our hearts. So it comes down to the matter of the heart. So if you read in Matthew, it says this, Matthew 15, not what goes into the mouth defiles a man, but what comes out of the mouth defiles a man. And you go on to verse 18 and 19, it says, but those things which proceeds out from the mouth come from the heart, and they defile a man. For out of the heart proceeds evil thoughts, murders, adulterers, fornications, thefts, false witness, lies, blasphemies. Right? This is the source of where everything comes out of. It's in our heart. Right, our lips, our tongues is part of our mouth. And this is what we speak. But where does all of these lies and deceitfulness come out of? It's actually from our heart. Because our heart is deceitful. Jeremiah 17:9 says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? And there is one more thing I want to mention regarding what we speak with our tongue, with our lips. In Matthew 12, verse 36, it says, but I say to you that for every idle word men may speak, they will give an account of it in the day of judgment. Right. What is an idle word? When you look at the dictionary definition of the word idle, of course, idle. You know, kind of doing nothing. But actually, you can speak a lot and do nothing. Idle means something that is not of real worth or not significant. It's meaningless. Idle words. Lord, what is our speaking today? And for this conference. I still remember having... I was talking to my daughter. We were getting ready to go for the conference in the summertime with Europe. And we had some fellowship. How do we redeem the time? Right? When you are at a conference like this, it's very easy to have idle talk. We can speak of many things that are insignificant. There are many things that we can talk that does not have impact in our lives. And even before I could, even before I finished talking to my daughter about that, she says, Daddy, I realize. In past conferences, I realize if I want to really get the most out of the conference, I need to take care of what I speak about. To fellowship, to have the real fellowship. It's not that we can't talk about, you know, our children or about work or things like that. But is it idle or is it something that will have impact in our lives that will take us on to know, right? So this is the condition of our heart. But we also need to realize it is not just our heart, it's our entire old man. It's our flesh. It's this flesh that we are living in. In Colossians 3:9 it says, "Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds." In Ephesians 4:22 it says, "That you put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts." So brothers and sisters, we need to be impressed about the condition of our entire being. Beginning with our lips and our tongues and our mouth, going deeper into our heart, but ultimately it is our entire flesh. We are just a fraud. Right? We are a real fraud. And this is something that the Lord has to really begin to deal with. Right? Why are we in this such condition? In John chapter 8, verse 44, it says this, "You are of your father the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him, for he speaks a lie. He speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it." So, brothers and sisters, we have to be really aware the real source. Why is it that we have this fraud? Why is it that we put up such a front? Why do we put up a facade? It's because we are of this source. The devil, who is the father of lies. This is the poison that is within our heart, and this is the poison that is within our flesh. And we need to realize this. And there is nothing we can do about it. As much as we want to be good, not to tell lies, and to speak truthfully, and not to mislead people, this is just our nature. This is whom we are. Nothing's more frustrating is, you know, this is the most frustrating thing in the church life. We say one thing, we do another thing. We tell one person one thing, we tell another person another thing. And just lies upon lies. This is our situation, brothers and sisters. We have to realize this. Because if we begin to see this, then we can begin to appreciate looking up to our Almighty God, to cry out to Him, to be our helper, that we'll see in Psalm 121. Right. So, O Lord, may we really be impressed with what our situation is. But then, we're not left there, because it goes on. It says, "What shall be given to you, or what shall be done to you, you false tongue?" Praise the Lord. There is judgment coming. "Sharp arrows of the warrior, with coals of the broom tree." I appreciate why the sharp arrows of the warrior. When the Lord touches us and wants to deal with our lying lips and our deceitful tongues, the Lord wants to be very specific with the arrows of a warrior. You know, I don't know if you've ever tried to shoot an arrow with bows. Some of us who were on past mountain trips, we went to a conference center and it had an archery range. The archery range is a place where you can actually shoot arrows. And when we all were looking at it and we saw that the targets were 15 yards and then 30 yards, or 15 meters and then 30 meters. None of us knew how to shoot with bow and arrow. I don't think anybody there knew how. And we were all kind of looking at it, and they showed us at 15 yards a really big target, and then at 30 yards they showed us a target that was no bigger than a bottle cap. And they told us, by the end of this session, you all should be able to get really close to that bottle cap. And we're saying, no, we were all really skeptical about this. And why were we skeptical? Because we didn't know how to properly shoot with a bow and arrow. Fortunately, the one person who was responsible for it, he learned how to shoot archery from Olympic archer. And he showed us, he demonstrated to us, and he actually showed us how to do it in the proper way. And to our surprise, after a few times in doing it the way they showed us how to do it, we could hit the target from 15 yards out. You could actually hit the yellow target in the center of the bullseye. And that was within, I don't know, maybe 10 tries, and we were starting to hit it quite consistently. And he said, see, now you can shoot the bow. You can go for the little bottle cap at the very end of 30 meters. And we all started shooting that afternoon very fast. And by the end of the afternoon, we were getting pretty close. Many of our shots were getting close. But it took a couple of days before one of the youngest of the group actually hit it. And you can actually hear it hit it. There was a distinct sound, and you knew it was hit. Right? It took some practice to do that. But it was possible. And when you consider, if the Lord wants to deal with our flesh, if he wants to deal, if we want the Lord to deal with our lying lips, then we need to be specific with the Lord. We need to say, Lord, deliver me. Deliver me from my lying lips. Right? And when you look at these verses here, I mean, these are sharp arrows of the warrior. We have some arrows that we can really use to address our lying lips. If you go to Ephesians chapter 4, there are many verses here we can use. We already talked about Ephesians chapter 4, verse 22. But how about verse 25? Therefore, putting away lying, let each of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. When we have the urge to lie, or even if we do speak a deceitful word, why don't we come to these verses? Lord, I repent. Repent for lying. And then you go down, verse 29, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth. No corrupt word proceed out of your mouth. And in verse 31, let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And in chapter 5, verse 4, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor coarse jesting. Verse 6, let no one deceive you with empty words. We have many arrows. We have many arrows. And we can ask, Lord, show us to deal with this. As we spend more time with the Lord will really expose, the Lord will really begin to judge our speaking. But the question is, are we willing to deal with it? Are we willing to turn to the Lord right away to deal with it? Because if we don't, then eventually this will become more and more predominant in our life. This is why I'm saying, you know, it starts out with the children. When we're all very young. I mean, hey, who taught the little kids how to be deceitful? Who taught them that? Did you? No, I don't think any parent would teach you this. But it's their nature. They start doing it. But because they're not dealing with it at the very beginning, and as parents, if we don't deal with it, then eventually they will become wild. Eventually, as we see in the last part in chapter 120, it says, woe is me that I dwell in Meshech. Meshech, these are the wild people that I dwell among the tents of Kedar. And these are the people, the dark people. These are those who are spiritually dark. If we don't address it with our children, they will become wild and they will become darkened. Well, in the same way, in our spiritual condition, if we don't deal with it right away, then we will also become wild and we will be spiritually darkened. And if we become wild and we become spiritually darkened, then eventually we also would be within our flesh. We would be the one who hates peace. I am for peace, but when I speak, they are for war. Brothers and sisters, we need to see this warning. It's quite clear. If we do not address this condition, this fallen condition within us here in the church life today, then we also will become wild and we will become spiritually darkened. And then, when someone tries to have fellowship with you, to correct you, the flesh will rise up and say, no. You become really defensive. Right? And this is like what was spoken last night. Why is it that God's people fight and argue amongst one another? It's because we are still children. We are still not matured yet. Why? Because we have not dealt with it with the sharp arrows. And then also with the coals of the broom tree. Our tongues have not been sanctified with the burning coals. You know, this is the core thing that we have to really see this morning. And, you know, many times we get exposed. In my marriage, whenever I speak, if it's something that is not of the Lord, something of my natural man, Sharon will always point it out to me. John, what you just said, that was just too much. That was just too over the top. Or she'll say, John, that was not profitable. Or that is not necessary. Because I love to add comments to things. Right? But every time she says that, what happens? I'll smile and go, thank you, Sharon. Thank you for exposing me. You think that's my reaction? No. And even though sometimes I won't say anything, but in my heart, it's like, oh, why again? And you know what? Many times it is still my reaction. But what I'm learning to do is when that reaction comes up within me, I say, okay, Lord, I need to turn to you. Maybe not in that instant second, but maybe 1 minute or 5 minutes later when I'm kind of by myself and then I realize, oh, Lord, I'm just pathetic. I am not, again, walking by the Spirit. And you have no control. I have no control over my tongue. It is impossible for me to tame my own tongue. Only you, Lord, can do it. So, and a lot of times, it's just, that's all I can do is to cry out to the Lord. And that's why Psalm 120, in my distress, I cry out to the Lord. I'm not crying out in distress because something terrible happened, like, you know, the sky is falling. But I'm crying out to the Lord because my tongue was not controlled. I need the Spirit. I need to walk by the Spirit. The Lord has to deal with this. The quicker I learn to speak, the quicker I turn to the Lord, then eventually there should be no deceit that comes out. And I will also have to say, sometimes, you know, we'll be in a situation and both of us are really stressed out. And in those situations, I still remember one night, Sarah came home really upset. And we both were distressed. And we wanted to say all kinds of stuff to remedy the solution and try to solve the solution. And whatever was being said didn't help. But a few minutes later, all I could do is say, Lord, I want to experience you. I want to look up into the hills to see our help is from the Lord who created the heaven and the earth. You have to come in. And then we all came together, and we prayed over some verses to really eat, and the Lord came in and delivered us. My, not only did the Lord deliver us in that moment, but the Lord also delivered us in that circumstance, in that whole situation, for days to come. Right? This is the only way, brothers and sisters, that we can really begin to grow. It is... First, the Lord has to really expose us. Show us this condition. Brothers and sisters, be impressed in a bad way, but you have to be impressed with how terrible our situation is. Because if we don't, then we would never turn to the Lord because we think everything is okay. So, brothers and sisters, the way that we need at this point is we would really need to learn to turn to the Spirit. The last verse that I want to bring up is in Galatians chapter 5, Verse 16, it says, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Brothers and sisters, the key here is to walk by the Spirit. But for us to walk by the Spirit, we also need to learn to say no to the flesh. If we don't learn to say no to the flesh, then we cannot walk by the Spirit. When the urge that comes up for us to say something that will cause a fire, that will cause misleadings, that will cause problems in our family life and in the church life, or even in the work or at school, wherever. If we have the urge to say something, then we need to say, Lord, no to the flesh. Lord, I turn to you so that I can speak by the Spirit. Amen. Oh, I forgot. The verse that I enjoyed most, especially in this chapter, in Psalms, the one that goes corresponding is this. Chapter 6 of Isaiah says this in verse 5. It says, so I said, woe is me, for I am undone. Because I am a man of unclean lips. And I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. This is really what we should do. When we live by the Spirit, right? When our eyes have seen the King, the Lord of the hosts, then we should realize that we are undone. We are of unclean lips. And we are in the midst of people of unclean lips. So may the Lord really show us this. Because then, verse 6, it says, then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a live coal which he has taken from the tongs of the altar. And he touched my mouth with it and said, behold, this has touched your lips. Your iniquity is taken away and your sin purged. Praise the Lord. Amen. So, brothers and sisters, may we really see what our real condition is. But also realize, hey, we have our wonderful Lord who is our helper. And He will be the one who will clean, will purify, will sanctify our lips and our tongue. Because He is the one who will give us a new heart and a new spirit. So, brothers and sisters, may we realize this. And because we realize this, we will then turn to Him.
Amen.
Amen.